Be seated, please. We're thankful for your presence this morning. We have a nice gathering here on this beautiful Lord's Day morning. We are thankful that this is a time also in our country when we are remembering with this Memorial Day weekend, especially those who have indeed given the greatest sacrifice for their nation, that is their life. And greater love hath no man than this, that he lay down his life for his friends. It's a weekend that is always a bit sobering and somber as we remember with grateful hearts. But I think for us as a state in Oklahoma, we went through a rough week. We have, in various communities in our state, have seen the effects of devastating, powerful displays of God's creation in these tornadoes. On a week from last Sunday evening, and of course the storm, particularly down in Moore, Oklahoma, we saw the devastation. We saw, particularly in Moore, in Shawnee, of course, and other communities where loss of life and property were seen, particularly in Moore, where we saw 24 folks die in that tragedy, including seven of those precious children as school was about to be let out. Over 400 injured and nearly 1,500 homes destroyed completely. We don't know why. We don't know if powerful events in nature such as tornadoes, hurricanes, earthquakes, if they were originally part of God's creation or not. We don't know that. There is thought that based on what Paul writes in Romans chapter 8 and verse 19, that it's possible that they were not. That as a result of the fall of man, the sinful state of our existence in this world, we now, as Paul describes, this creation itself is subjugated to that fall. And it groans for its redemption. I don't think I understand everything about what Paul is saying there. We don't fully understand. It's really beyond our scope of understanding even to grasp what we see sometimes in moments like this, in times like this. But what I do know this morning, church, is that we have a God who loves us. We have a God who is aware of our suffering, of our hurts. We serve and worship a God this morning that sees everything. I think about Jesus when he was on the earth, as he saw so much hurt and pain and suffering and disease and death, and even tragic events that were a part of his world as well as ours, we know. And I remember as he stood at the tomb of his close dear friend Lazarus. You remember that in John 11? As he saw those two sisters, Mary and Martha, grieving, weeping over the loss of their brother Lazarus, Jesus loved that family. And there in John 11, 33, you have what might be it's the shortest verse in all the Bible, but it might reveal to us more about our God. When it says, Jesus wept. And yet Jesus was about to resurrect Lazarus there in that story. But Jesus, when he saw the suffering, the heart of these two women, that this family that he loved, when he saw their hurt, when he saw their pain, when he saw their despair, it touched the Savior's heart. And our God is not unmoved by these events that occur in our life. We see the heart of God in Jesus Christ, the Son of God, who shows us the Father. The things that trouble the Father, the things that trouble us trouble the Father. The things, the events that drive us to our knees in despair, they drove Jesus to His knees in despair and anguish as well. We don't understand everything about our fallen world, about natural disasters, about disease, about suffering and pain, but we know about our God this morning. We know He loves us, and He knows all about what goes on in our lives. Let's pray together before we begin our lesson. Our God, our Father, we are thankful that we can come to this place this morning with people of like precious faith. We come here as a people who love You, who believe in You, who lean on You, Father, in good times and in bad times. And even this morning, Father, as our hearts and minds think about the sacrifice of Your Son, our Savior, Jesus on the cross, we also, as we think about and honor and remember those of in our nation, in this land of freedom that we enjoy as a people, we think about those who have given their life in service to our country. We think about those, Father, in our families that have passed on from this life. And Father, this is a weekend we remember and honor them. And Father, as our hearts are heavy on weekends and times like this, and Father, what we have seen this past week in our great state with the loss of life, innocent, precious life, homes and lives ripped up, Father, in a moment. Father, we know that You are not unaware, that You are not unmoved by the suffering of so many. And Father, we pray that You would comfort and touch the hearts of all those who are mourning. Father, we are so thankful that as we have seen the events of this past week, of those who have responded, our state that has rallied around, Father, and has risen up, we're thankful, Father, that we can see Your presence in those first responders, those who volunteered, Father, to give their time, to sacrifice, to go, to help, to rescue, to search. Father, we are thankful for the police and the firemen and all of the organizations of our country that responded with kindness, with generosity, with broken hearts, Father, to mourn, to hold, to cry with those, Father, who have suffered this past week. Father, we're thankful for teachers who shielded with their own body children. We're thankful, Father, for neighbors that have risen up, Father, to help their fellow neighbors. We're thankful, Father, for people of faith who have risen up to respond to the tragedy in the various communities throughout our state that suffered these storms this past week. Father, help us to know that You are alive and well, that You are working through the hurt and through the suffering and through the pain, and that, Father, in all of this, we pray You to be glorified. We pray, Father, that people will look at their own frailty of their life, and that they'll turn to You, the eternal God. And that, Father, as precious and as important as our life and our property and our family and all of the material things we have in this life, Father, they do not compare to the soul. We're thankful that Jesus came to redeem us, to save us, Father, so that we could live for all eternity with You in heaven. And Father, we're thankful for the hope of heaven. We're thankful that though storms may come, we're thankful that even though, Father, thieves may come in and break and steal and destroy, Father, we're thankful that we have something that is permanent, that cannot be taken from us, that cannot be destroyed by the storms and the winds of powerful tornadoes. We have that which is eternal in Christ. Give us that hope. Help us, Father, to see the hurt of those around us, that we might do and say those things to lift their spirits. We're thankful, Father, for Jesus, the one who suffered, came to this earth and died on the cross for us so that we might have glory and salvation. And it's in His precious name we pray. Amen. I want to share a little bit here as we see some of the images, of course, that we have seen this past week as we are thinking about these events. But I want to transition into a few words about our lesson this morning. We indeed have learned a lot about service, even this week. We've seen people at their very best, in their very worst moments and situations of their lives. And we're thankful for, again, all of those who have responded, people of faith, people of our state, to respond to the hurt and to the tragedies that have affected these communities. Of course, we think about especially in Moore. We think about in all the communities where these storms came in Sunday and Monday and created such destruction. We're thankful for the images of people who came to serve and to help in cleanup efforts, and we'll continue to do that in the weeks and months to come. We're thankful for the group here at Crosstown that'll be going down this Friday evening to one of those communities that was hit, Shawnee, and providing relief and cleanup and to do anything we can to encourage those down in that community. Again, we are thankful for that. We're thankful for the congregations like the Lakeview Church in Shawnee, like various congregations in Oklahoma City and now Moore, the congregation at Central and Moore, and all of God's people who are opening up their buildings, opening up their homes to reach out into the community and to help with those who have been affected by these storms. And so even though we've been through a rough week, we're seeing the best of us and of our state and of people of faith who have their hope in God and love for the Lord. It really brings us to the idea of service, and I just want to say a few things here this morning in our lesson about that very idea of service. We're thinking about that. We're thinking about it in a number of ways. Again, what we have seen in our state of people rallying around their communities who have been devastated by these tornadoes. We're thinking about people in our nation who have, in service to their country, in service to so many that they did not know, gave their lives, were willing to sacrifice their lives for the freedoms that we enjoy in our country. We're thankful for that. We are learning an awful lot about service right now. We here at the Crosstown Church this summer have devoted to this ourselves to this theme in our Wednesday night summer series. We have chosen as a theme this summer for our Wednesday night program the idea of SOS, which stands for Summer of Service. We want to cultivate that spirit and that heart of servitude, of being a servant to others, of thinking about not our own needs and our own concerns and our own life, but the needs and concerns of other people. We want to be servants of God the way God teaches us and shows us. And so all this summer, we're going to be, in a very special way, in a program that we're working on, we're going to begin the first Wednesday evening of June and going through the end of August. We're going to be devoting ourselves to this idea of service. We're going to be doing a combination. Several have asked me, Robert, what exactly are we doing? Well, some of that we're still figuring out, I will be honest. But what we're going to do is a combination of not only coming here on Wednesday nights for the teens and the adults. We'll have Bible classes for the children as normal throughout the summer months, except one of those Wednesday evenings. But for the teens and for the adult members, we're going to be coming into the auditorium several times throughout the summer. We're going to hear lessons. We've heard those lessons before. We've come to these pews, and we've heard lessons that motivate us and challenge us and call us to action. And that's what we want to have. But we want this summer as well, not only to hear some good lessons by some of our members here at Crosstown and a few others outside of Crosstown. We want to give you, we want to give us as a congregation the opportunity to put it into practice. to think about the needs and concerns of those around us in our community and in our city and even our state, as these projects are already kind of growing and being added to. And so periodically as well, we're not only going to have a lesson on service, we're going to have some service projects where we will come to the building on those Wednesday nights that we have. I believe we have a schedule in the bulletin that you can get the schedule when we have speakers on certain Wednesday evenings. And on those other Wednesday evenings, we have a devotional that we will have followed by service projects. It'll include a number of projects. Some of these we're still working on. Projects that will be early on, such as helping with the Red Cross and people who've lost everything, like we've seen this past week with these tornadoes in our communities. People who've lost everything, and that we can provide some hygiene kits, soap, shampoo, toothpaste, toothbrush. When you've lost everything and someone there is with a smiling face and an arm around you, to say, here's something that can help you, just the very basic necessities. For children, activity bags for these families who've lost everything. Crayons, coloring books, things for children to have when they've lost everything they've owned in their house. We're going to be working with the Red Cross on a couple of those projects, and we've already asked for donations in the bulletin that you can read that we need for you to help us in donating cash, donating money to help buy some of those bags, and donating some of the supplies. If you would like to donate, go out and get the supplies, or if you'd like to, again, just make a donation, a monetary donation. Things like maybe helping with tornado relief, that we're going to have a group go up this Friday evening and Saturday and work. And we're looking at another opportunity later on in the summer, possibly in the Moore community. Partnering with Sequoia Elementary School has been presented with opportunity that we might have to, as we are partners with that school here, to help them in some areas. The Contact Church of Christ in the inner city work in downtown Tulsa, we have an opportunity to serve there, and there'll be an opportunity we'll present on a Wednesday evening to help put together some field trip lunches. Opportunity to help those in the downtown Tulsa area with simply blessing bags, some things, basic necessities, and things that let people who are struggling literally to survive and on the streets to know that someone cares about them. And here are some basic necessities and things that we can put together and take groups there to give to them. Military, those who serve in our country, in our armed forces, things that we can do to encourage them possibly later in the summer. Even those who are in the nursing homes that we could go and encourage and visit and lift their spirits. We're going to be trying to present a number of things in these service projects so that you can stay here at the building and you can work in some of these areas that we'll present. Or maybe you might be able to go and get in your car with some others at Crosstown and go to a nursing home or go to downtown Tulsa and give blessing bags or some of these other things that we're looking at. There'll be something for everyone to do. Something for everyone to do. This is not something where you say, well, you know, on the off weeks when we don't have a lesson in the auditorium, I can kind of check out that week because there's nothing I won't be able to do. No, there will be something everyone can do in this congregation, from the oldest to the youngest. And we even have a special night that we're planning on July 5th, right around the July 3rd. I can't remember if it's July 3rd or 5th, but we won't have Bible classes the week of the 4th of July. And we will have all of the children and all of the adults. We will have a special service project that we will do with the Red Cross that we will be putting together and presenting. And that night, the Red Cross will be here, representative from the Red Cross, and we will present them with these bags, hygiene bags, and these children kits that we're going to be able to make. And so there'll be something even for children to do that night, to assemble these activity bags for children who've lost everything and families. And so something for everyone to do, to try to help us, to spur us on, to get us thinking about other people. We live in a culture and we live in a world that constantly tells us you are what is most important. And we're not minimizing our life and our problems and our needs and our concerns, but we serve a Savior who thought about us when he came to this earth. He had you and I on his mind. And Jesus, as Philippians 2 teaches us in that possibly earliest Christian hymn about the suffering and the servant, Jesus, who came to this earth, took upon flesh, he humbled himself and became obedient to even the point of death on the cross. And Paul tells us to have that mind in us, which was in Christ Jesus, and to think about not only your own interest, but the interest of others. We live in a culture that tells us you are what's most important. Focus on yourself always. And Christ calls us, get your focus off of yourself. Think about others. There's more to this world and to this life than just you and I. Ourselves. There are people all around us who need the love of God, who need encouragement, who need basic necessities, who need encouragement maybe in the form of letters that we could write, whether they're people maybe in the nursing homes who are struggling or people who are serving overseas in a foreign country. Maybe it's missionaries that we could write encouraging notes to. There are things we can do to develop a servant's heart. And we want to use these things this summer to encourage that here at Crosstown. And not for it to just be a program that comes for this summer and then it ends at the end of the summer, but hopefully cultivates an ongoing life of service. Service to others. I want to give you 3 points that's drawn from a text in Matthew chapter 20. We're not going to spend a lot of time here on this, so if you'll just have your hand out there. There are 3 things here that I think are important for us to consider as we think about learning service. As we have been even learning about service in our state this week, as we are thinking about those who have dedicated their life to service and serving in our country and have given their lives even in the ultimate sacrifice for their country. We're thinking about Christian service. We're thinking about the call that God gives to us to become servants. You remember this story in Matthew chapter 20? You have the mother of the sons of Zebedee that come to Jesus on behalf of their son, on behalf of her sons, and she's going to ask Jesus this request. She's going to say, as he asked her, "What do you wish?" She said to him, "Command that in your kingdom these 2 sons of mine may sit, one on your right hand and one on your left." You see, more than likely, this, like so many other Jews, as they were thinking about the Messiah, the Christ, and Jesus has come into the world, and he is showing that he is indeed the fulfillment of the Old Testament, the Christ, the Messiah, the Son of God. They saw things differently than the way God was intending for it to be in the kingdom. They were thinking about an earthly kingdom. They were thinking about an earthly king who would sit on the throne of David and would restore the glory and power and riches of David. They're thinking about position. They're thinking about power. They're thinking about prestige. And it's not just the mother here. What mother doesn't want the best for her sons, right? Her children. She's looking out for them. But Jesus, when he's going to speak here, he's going to say, "Can you?" He's going to speak in plurals. It's not just the mother of the sons of Zebedee. It's the apostles. It's the disciples. They were caught up in this mindset of power and authority and position and glory. And that they thought that they were going to do that and receive that in a position of getting served. They'll kind of sit on these thrones. They'll sit up on the throne of the Christ, and they'll have power, and they'll have authority, and they'll have influence, and they'll have riches, and they'll be served. They'll just speak the word, and people will obey. Jesus turns all of that around. You see, that's the way of the world. That is the way of the world, first of all. As we think about Christian service, is thinking about someone else's needs. That's what we've been talking about here. That's what I've been introducing here, is that Christian service is doing that which someone else needs. And that's what we're thinking about here. And we see here, this is, first of all, the way of the world, though. The contrast here is to be served, to be in a position where others serve us. See, there's really two questions in the way of the world. As Jesus is going to talk about here in these verses, verses 20 and 21, he's going to say, as he gets down here and says, down in verse 25, "You know that the rulers of the Gentiles lord it over them." He's talking about the way of the world. That's how the way of the world is, from a position of power and authority and influence. He says, "You know how that is in the world, that they have, Gentiles have rulers who lord it over them, and their great men exercise authority over them. It is not so among you," he's going to say. But that's how it is in the way of the world. Two questions come to mind when we think about the way of the world in this regard. What do I want? That's what people think about. What do I want? What can I get out of life? What are my needs? What are my concerns? What's my agenda? And then the second question that's connected to that people ask about this is, how can I get others to give me what I want? And so many people focus their life on those two questions. What do I want? That's their whole focus in life. What are my concerns? What are my desires? What are my interests? And then secondly, connected to that is they seem to go about life trying to get others to give them what they want. You ever known people that way? That's just their whole existence, is themselves and their own selfish interest. And Jesus says, that's not the way it is with you. That's not the way it is in the kingdom. And that's what we're seeing here in this regard. And you know, it's interesting. Again, we can't get into this because we're running out of time. But Jesus, when they ask this question, when the mother Salome comes here requesting this of James and John, sons of Zebedee, if you'll notice, it gets down there and it says in verse 24, "Hearing this, the ten became indignant with the two brothers." They're not upset that how dare they ask such a question. They ought to be humble. They ought to be concerned about what's good for the kingdom and what's good for the will of God. What's going on here is they're upset they didn't get that request in first. All of the apostles were thinking about earthly riches and earthly power and an earthly throne. And so they're all thinking about the way of the world. And Jesus tells us here, secondly, the way, as we think about that way of the world's always in ourselves. We don't want to look to others. We want to look to ourselves and see it in ourselves. But Jesus contrasts that with the way of the kingdom. Down in verse 26 and 27, he says, "It is not so among you." This what he just described, how the Gentiles have rulers who lord it over them and their great men exercise authority. "It's not that so among you. Whoever wishes to become great among you shall be your servant. Whoever wishes to be first among you shall be your slave. Just as the Son of Man did not come to be served, but to serve and to give His life a ransom for many." Jesus uses two words here. The first is the word servant. And it's a word that deals with the waiter at a banquet. It's one who is a hired servant in the house. Jesus describes His followers not in terms of rulers and lords and people of high position, but as servants. And then He gives another word. If that's not any more clear and even really more offensive, here's a word. Jesus says, you're going to be slaves. The idea here is not just a waiter, but one who has been bought and sold to another. He belongs to someone else. That's the idea of slavery. Sometimes our translations will just translate kind of the general word. They'll translate it slave, to be servants. But really, many times the word is slave that's used there. We belong to another. And that's what Jesus calls us to. We belong to Him. We belong to God. We have been bought with a price. And our bodies are not our own to do with as we please. Isn't that what Paul says in Romans chapter, or 1 Corinthians chapter 6, church? He says, you were bought with a price. Somebody says, it's my body, I can do whatever I want with my body. That's not the Christian worldview. You're not getting that from the Scriptures. Somebody says, it's my life, I can do... You didn't get that from the Scriptures. Your life is not your own. Your body is to be used to serve God and glorify Him. Your mind, your talents, your money, your possessions, they belong to the Lord. We have just been given those. We are stewards. They're not really ours. We have to use them for the one who has given them to us for His honor and His service. And that's the way of the kingdom. But Jesus, We tell, as we think about, in this regard, selfish ambition, you can look at the fruit of the Spirit. One of the things of the works of the flesh that's contrasted against the fruit of the Spirit is selfish ambition. And Jesus there in the New Testament and Paul calls us to not fulfill the works of the flesh. And he gives some pretty bad stuff there. He talks about some pretty wicked things, but kind of in the middle of all that is selfish ambitions. We sometimes might overlook that when we look at some of the other things he lists. But selfish ambition. And then he tells us to put on the fruit of the Spirit, to develop the fruit of the Spirit, which if you look at all of those nine characteristics of the fruit of the Holy Spirit, they're all service-oriented. They're all about others and not yourself and living that kind of life that relates to service to others. Now, church, Jesus shows us the way. The way of Jesus, he tells us there in verse 28. Note this, just as the Son of Man did not come to be served, but to serve and give His life a ransom for many. The entire life of Jesus was about others, serving others, helping others. And Jesus doesn't just come and lecture us. He doesn't just come and speak words. He speaks actions. His actions show us that He was a servant. And he in His whole life, as He served others, and ultimately, the greatest example of His service, Matthew tells us, as Jesus, we have His words recorded, that the Son of Man came to give His life a ransom for many, to buy us back, to redeem us from condemnation. Jesus, God our Father, had us on His mind in eternity. Before the foundations of the world, Paul would say in Ephesians 1, God thought about us. Jesus thought about us. We were on His mind at the cross. Remember what He prayed even in the garden from His fleshly body, His temptation, the selfish ambitions that He would have to fight against. Father, if it's possible, let this cup pass. Nevertheless, what? Not as I will, but Your will be done. That's how He lived. And that's how He died, demonstrating that life of service. His entire life was a life of service, and it culminated at the cross when He gave that ultimate act of service. See, the question we need to ask in this regard is simply this. What does God want? If we'll focus on that first and foremost, we will develop a heart of servants. What does God want? What's God's will? What's God's will for those around me who are hurting and suffering and need encouragement, need help? What can I do to think about their concern and their plight and all of those outward questions? What does God want me to do? And then secondly, what does this person need? As I think about what does God call me to do and what I see around me, opportunities to serve, that's call to action. That's what God's calling us to be, is people of action. Again, Jesus' entire life was a life of service. And He ultimately went to the cross and demonstrated that service for us by giving His life as a ransom for us. Friends, the most important thing we can be a people of service, because we are never more like Jesus, our Savior, the heart of our God, when we are servants, when we develop this heart of service for others. And so I pray that this summer, in a couple of weeks when we kick it off, that we will devote ourselves to learning to be better servants here at Crosstown. Sometimes we talk about what can help the church grow, and sometimes people think about buildings and budgets and bigger staff and all of these things, which can be very helpful. Right here is what will grow this church more than anything else. If we are known as a people who love others and are concerned about others, people will come here from all over the Tulsa area, I am convinced, if they can come and find something that is so unique and so God-like, so God-centered. And that's what Jesus is, showing us the way of the Father. Maybe this morning you're here and we want to offer the invitation. We want to think about that cross, which is the ultimate act of service. And if you're here and outside of Jesus Christ, we don't want to close without offering the invitation that as Jesus laid down His life, as Jesus was crucified and died on that cross, and He was buried and He was resurrected by the power of God on the third day, we also demonstrate that. We reenact that in Christian baptism, in our faith, in our repentance, in our being immersed in water, dying to self, being buried to self, the old self, being raised up to walk a new life. Maybe you have done that, but as a Christian, you're not thinking about others. You're thinking about yourself only. You're being controlled by that selfish ambition that Paul says is a work of the flesh. Maybe you need to repent. Maybe you need to ask for prayers of the church. If we can help you in any way, come as we stand and sing.